Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, where we have honest conversations with incredible people about faith, resilience, and the stories that shape us. I'm your host today, Dr. Zach Clinton, and today we're joined by a true legend and a dear friend, Dr. Mark Creer. Not only is he an Olympic medalist and world-class athlete, but he's also someone who's experienced the highs of being on top of the world and the challenges that come when maybe the spotlight fades. Together, we're going to talk about faith, resilience, the transition out of sport, the reality of imposter syndrome, and what it truly means to live a life of faithfulness rather than striving for fame and fortune. This is going to be a conversation about victory, loss, purpose, and identity. I can't wait for you to hear it. Dr. Mark Creer, thank you so much for joining
me. My pleasure, Zach. Good to be here.
Dr. Creer, we're here in Nashville, Tennessee, the Gaylord Opryland Hotel. There's an excitement. There's a buzz. Sold out crowd over 7,000 strong. Counselors, coaches, chaplains.
Yes.
I mean, people from all over the globe, 30
yes.
countries represented to
wow.
come together to worship God and grow in communion with one another. I want to ask you, obviously, in the cultural moment that we find ourselves in, some dark, difficult, divided times, there's comfort in community. And that's
yes.
why events like this matter. Speak
yes.
to just the excitement you have in being here and why you think this event matters so, so much.
I mean, everything is timing. I think that just us being here is glorifying the Word of God and is mm-hmm. truly being united. We got to remind ourselves that the Word of God says, be watchful. And I think what's going on in our culture, not just the black and white ethnicity culture, but a spiritual culture, is we have to be watchful for the enemy. He tries to be divisive. He's sneaky. And he didn't want this to take place. He doesn't like this.
Yeah.
So us coming together, regardless of what political background, what spirit, what color, what neighborhood, what denomination, we are here worshiping the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ and becoming united. And we all know, you know, when we all come together who are in agreement in His name, then He will heal the land. And I believe that as a result of this conference, the land will begin to heal.
That's 2 Chronicles 7:14,
yes.
right? If my people who
yes.
are called by my name,
name
would humble themselves and pray and seek my face
yes.
and turn from their wicked ways, then He will hear from heaven,
yes.
forgive our sins,
and
heal our land.
Yes.
And I believe
order.
In that order, exactly. And I do think that in these difficult, dark, divided times, this is Satan's tactics 101. He's been
yes.
doing this from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Deception, delusion, destruction, division, to deter, to divide, to distract mm-hmm. us from His original
right.
design for His children and
mm-hmm.
His people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't respond out of devastation. We have to respond
no.
out of determination.
Yes, yes.
Speaking of determination, right? You're
right.
a very determined man.
Wow.
You're somebody that has an incredible backstory when it
yeah.
comes to athletics, when it comes to Olympics, right?
Mm.
Silver and bronze medalist.
Yes.
What was the event in hurdles?
Yes, 110-meter high hurdles. Yes.
110-meter high hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
Take us back to just the Olympic career, maybe some fun, exciting memories that stick out to you for a moment.
Well, I tell you, now I can have the fun memories. Back then, it was about being in the zone. Now
right.
I can appreciate them double-double grilled onion, animal style. I can those double-double pancakes. But I think that during my Olympic journey, the thing that sticks out most is all about representing. And the challenges that comes with that. I mean, many might not know that I had a broken arm in my first Olympics.
Right.
It was 2 weeks before the Olympic Games. And I'll tell you the story real quick, but I broke my arm. It was a sports announcer. They wanted to do a feature on me before the Olympics. And I was training and he wanted me to do an awkward movement over the hurdle.
Mm.
And I tripped and I reached my left arm out and fractured my radial head.
Wow.
Now, Zach, this is live on live California, you know, ESPN Sports Center live. So at that moment, I fell on the ground and the camera's still there.
Still
in life, you're not going to have a cut, second chance, you know, without the grace of God. But this is who you really are. So at that moment, they took me to the hospital, camera right there, got my x-ray, doctor comes out, laughing, saying, I'm sorry, you're not going to run in the Olympics. You got a broken arm. 4 years of training, 4 years of dedication. See, people look at the glory, but they don't know the story. They're, oh, you're this, you're number one in the world. All the years of training. And I remember, you know, contemplating, you know, we're all going to get challenges. We're all going to sometimes question, but it's what we do with those questions. What answers do we have, and where do we find those answers at? Do we find it from the Word of God? Do we find it from man? Do we find it from our emotions? So I got a phone call from this man. He said, hey, Mark, we heard about you. We want to fix you up. If you come out to the Bay Area, we will give you something that will help heal in 2 weeks. And I'm thinking, in 2 weeks, how can you heal a broken arm? But I was thanking God, because remember, the enemy's job, you know, he got to be watchful. He said, come on out. I went out. Then something told me, you know, I remember being in front of the office, and something told me, don't go in, just go home. It doesn't sound right. And sometimes the Word of God says he will always give you a way out. And you have to listen to it. You got to be tuned in to what the Word of God, not your flesh, because they similar in sound.
Absolutely.
So then I left. I thank God I did, because we all know that up north, that's where the Balco laboratory was. That's where the whole Barry Bonds and steroids, and what he wanted to give me was the clear. And I thank God that I said no, because had he not, I would have been taking something and not knowing that it was steroids, and my name could have been drugged through the ground. But I thank God that through faith, you know, through focus, you know, and through commitment, I was able to go to the Olympics. And I remember it hurt like, you know, a four-letter love word. Amen. And but at that time I said, Lord, you brought me here, and let your will be done. And then the gun went off, and, you know, the rest is history.
Wow. It's amazing to hear just, you know, some of those stories, some of those memories. Yeah. And I know that you're no stranger to suffering. Right? You have been a partner of pain in the past, just like all of us have, and injuries obviously riddled maybe throughout your career, but at the same time, a childhood and upbringing maybe was difficult as well. And so I would love for you to take us back into those moments and maybe some of the lessons that you learned in the midst of the pain, and even in the midst of the bruising. Like, how did you find the blessing there?
That's what the Word of God, and that's what the ministry is all about. It's this perception that you're not going to suffer. The Word of God says when the enemy comes in like a flood. It didn't say if, it said when. So you're going to have some hard times. I don't care what kind of silver spoon you have in your mouth. You might choke on that spoon, something. You're going to have some hard times. And I came from and was in a broken home, typical stereotype, inner city, broken home, abusive childhood. The physical wounds healed, but the emotional wounds didn't heal. That's where that imposter syndrome's come in at, and, you know, always trying to prove yourself. So I had a lot of abandonment issues, a lot of abuse trauma, complex trauma, you know, generational trauma, if you want to go there. And one of the hardest hurdles to overcome is being in the church when the church is wounded, when the leader is wounded. So then you have that spiritual church, Christian trauma, if you will, imposter syndrome, like, am I really good enough? Because of certain communities, or if you're going through something, is you're not paying your tithe, or you're not fasting, or you're not praying enough. So we, our safe haven was also critical, was also judgmental, was no really place to turn. But I do remember this, you know, going, not wanting to go home because you didn't want to get beat, not having the money. I loved football, wanted to be a Jerry Rice, number 80, but I couldn't afford, I didn't have the support. And I remember sitting at the bench one time, Zach, and a guy walked up. He was a security guard. He said, hey, you look like you could run track. And I was just looking at, you know, I was thinking of girls and shorts, and yeah, I'm there. Hey, amen. So I went out to the track, and it was the first thing that I fell in love with. The harder I worked, the better I became. Nobody could take that away from me. What's the moral of the story? Throughout everything you're going through, there will be that one light. You just got to look for it. God will, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So I don't care, whatever you're going through, keep your eyes on a prize, because there will be that one, in this case, his name was Frank, that says, hey, you look like you can run track. It'll be that one person to give you a hand up, not a handout, but give you an opportunity. And I think that you can't lose your faith on that. Yes, hard times are going to come. Abuse is going to happen. You're going to lose races. You're going to get fired. You're not going to get this job. Your relationship might be shaky, or you might end up in divorce. But God says, you know, all things work together for the good. So I'm a living testimony that this too shall pass. You just got to get up one more time, then the enemy knocks you down, and you'll be okay.
Come on. I think we live in a culture, Mark, that says that you can find light at the end of the tunnel. But I think what God has been revealing to me and my heart in the midst mm-hmm. of darkness and hardship is that you can find light in the midst of the tunnel too.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Batterson, I've said this a couple of times, right. I'll never forget when he shared this with me, that you can assess the spiritual maturity of a man or a woman by whether or not they can mm-hmm. see or find the miraculous in the midst mm-hmm. of the monotonous.
Amen.
Like, can I see God? Not yeah. asking him to show up.
No.
He's already there.
Mm-hmm.
But can I open my eyes to recognize that he lives in the midst of the darkness?
And that's that tunnel. When you're really walking by faith and not by sight, you don't need to see a light. Mm-hmm. You know, the word of God says, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Mm-hmm. The shadow is something that is a perception. It's not the reality. It's the shadow of something else. You've seen shadows, but the shadow doesn't attack you.
Yeah.
So yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, it's like it's a perception in your mind. So when we get to the real, I don't need to see yeah. now faith. I don't need to see. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see the holes in the hand. I believe that this is not dark. It's lightness all around me because my Lord is Savior. So when I was down and out, when I had a broken arm, when I was at the Olympics, and my second Olympics, I had a double hernia, and you start thinking, what's going on? And that puppy hurt. You know, I couldn't even push out the blocks. And this is when, you know, it was in Sydney, Australia, and this was just an awesome, awesome experience. But then again, you know, I leaned on my faith.
Yeah.
And you have to be resilient. I speak to my clients all the time, and we have theme names, and my name is Undaunted. You have to be undaunted. Undaunted means no matter what you do, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It doesn't mean you're going to win every day. It means I'm going to show up every day. I'm going to hold on to that blessing. I'm going to hold on to that angel. I'm going to, you know, keep fighting until I get my blessings. Be undaunted. And regardless of what place you come in, you'll be a winner.
Let's talk a little bit more about resilience here yeah. for a moment, because I think that's a concept that we mention a lot in the mental health space.
Sure.
Everybody wants to live the resilient life, right?
Yes.
But nobody really knows how to do it or what mm-hmm. it even means or looks like. And I'll never mm-hmm. forget, I've done a lot of research like yourself. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot of articles in the right. literature. And one thing that I can be certain of is there is no concrete definition for that word.
But the
most common theme that mm-hmm. I found is positive adaptation in the presence of adversity. Knowing full well that it will inevitably come. In this mm-hmm. world, you will have trouble, but we can take heart or have courage because he's overcome the world, right? We mm-hmm. can shift our attention somewhere else.
Right.
For you, Dr. Krier, I know you've done a lot of research on this mm-hmm. space. You do a lot of talking, a lot right. of coaching, resilience. Mm-hmm. What would you maybe define it as? And how can we begin to take steps toward resilience every single day?
That's a good question. In short, in an analogy, I think that resilience is being deaf to what everybody else hears, being blind to what everybody else sees. You know that story, there was two men and it was a hole and they were trying to climb out. And people were saying, you can't make it, wait, you can't make it, wait. And the deaf couldn't hear him.
Yeah.
And he kept climbing and he made it. The other one died because he was listening. So I think that if we not listen to what society is saying, and not see what society is saying, but just really, and it's not a cliche, yeah. because think about it, if what is resilience? Resilience is belief.
That's right.
It's not doubt. And where do we get doubt from? We get doubt from man. We get doubt from trauma. We get doubt from disappointment. A new baby walking, he's resilient. He's gonna fall down, get back up, fall down, get back up, until what? He starts hearing that, no, don't, stop. And then he'll become apprehensive. So we have to retrain our minds and heal from the trauma that we've experienced, the pain that we experienced, the disappointment, mm-hmm. and really know how to apply the word of God, again, by knowing where your enemy and who your enemy is. And sometimes that's the person in the mirror.
One thing that you and I probably share in a common belief is that resilience is rooted in relationship.
Yeah.
It takes, you know, resilience theory would say one or two people, mm-hmm. one or two secure attachments to yes. earn that secure attachment yes. back in your life, to literally mm-hmm. begin to rewire your brain mm-hmm. towards safe, secure attachment again. Mm-hmm. I think it goes back even to our relationship with God, right? When we're mm-hmm. in relationship with God, when we know who God is, mm-hmm. when we remember back that he is the God that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, the same God that did it then is the same God who will do it now. When we believe those truths and mm-hmm. we trust him,
yes.
trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him.
Yes.
And he will make your path straight. When we actually trust him, right? That's when I think we begin to take steps toward mm-hmm. this life of resilience and endurance, because it propels us mm-hmm. into a future of the unknown with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for you, because I remember the last time we got together, you shared with me a personal story
mm-hmm.
about the time where maybe you met this woman on a plane.
Yes, on a train. Yeah, plane. Yes.
Take
yes.
us to that story.
Well, it's funny because it kind of is symbolic to what the importance of this conference And I was number one, ranked number one in the world, going to Zurich, Switzerland for a track meet. At that time, I was winning by a significant distance, like Usain Bolt, or I was sitting in the block. Yeah, I was, you know, 10, you know, 5, 10 meters. And in 100 meters, that's a lot of victory space. So I was just going, just a routine. It was over 10 years ago, so IRS is good. My taxes is good. So I got, they offered me $50,000 in cash and just to run.
Wow.
Just to show up for 13 seconds, $50,000 in cash, another $50,000 if I won. So it was $100,000 for 13 seconds of running. Mm-hmm. Oh, unless I take last, but that's not going to happen. So I'm on a plane and reading the Bible because I was going through seminary school at the time. And I, be honest, I don't know what verse I was studying, you know, for storytelling. Like I say, it was Proverbs, whatever, but I don't know what it was. And it was this lady sitting next to me, and she said, what's that? And I thought she was talking about my bling bling, you know, my wrist or something. I don't know. She, this is the Bible. And I just told her the verse I was reading. She said, oh, like she really didn't know what the Bible was. She had that strong accent. And then that's the end of the conversation. I told her that, you know, I told her I was a sportsman. They don't call them athletes. They call us sportsmen. I'm a sportsman. I'm competing. And that was the end of the conversation. Then get to the race. Zach, I tell you what, you know, lane 5, being picked up in a limousine, having your own room, you know, just treat it like royalty, get to the meet. Mark Creer, you know, and they say in Europe, they speak a different language. In Zurich, they speak, Swiss, and they were like, Hada! That means runner, take your mark. Okay. And I don't know where I was at, so Hada! Means, and I'm just standing there, and everybody else is getting in the blocks. And they're like, Mark, get in, you know, because I'm standing up, everybody else is down there. And then when you get in there, Hada! Then they fired a gun. I fell asleep or something. I was the last person out the blocks. They shot the gun. 2 seconds later, my reaction time. I clobbered every single hurdle. YouTube it. Worst hurdle race in history by Mark Creer. Out there, bloopers, right? I took dead last. Guess how much money I got?
How much?
Zero. Now, remember, I paid for that business class ticket. So now I'm minus $2,000. But the camera came to me just like it when I broke my arm. Well, Mark, you took last, and you know, what do you feel? How do you feel? Again, what do you think I'm going to say? What do you say? We can all jump and shout hallelujah at church. We can all say amen when things are good. But when things are bad, that's the true mark of a Christian, of character. And I remember wanting to say something, but then I thought, you know what? I'm frustrated. But I give all God to glory to God. He brought me here for some reason. I know all things work together for the good. My performance wasn't what I wanted, of course, but you know what? I still give honor to God. That's it. Walked away. Fast paced, mind you, said. 2 weeks later, I get a letter, an email in the mail, a letter, and it's from our governing body, USA Track and Field, because if you want to email Michael Jordan or Olympian, you got to go through the governing bodies. And they forwarded it to me, and it opened it up, and I never forget it. It was chicken scratch, bad English, but it was from that lady on the plane. And she said, excuse me, you might not remember me, but I'm the one who sat next to you on the plane. I don't even know her name. And she said, I just wanted to let you know that I was going to Switzerland, Zurich, to see my mom. We have been estranged, and she's dying, and I'm not in a will, and I just wanted to go and, you know, take her out. And at first, I thought, oh, that's sweet. But I kept reading, take her out, man. She wanted to kill her mother.
Right.
And she said she came out there, and she took the pillow, and she began to put it over her mother's face to suffocate her. But then she thought, what if there was a noise or a scream?
Right.
So she turned on the television to background noise. See where I'm going? And boom, there was Eurosport. And she thought, hey, I know that guy. So for 13 seconds, she paused and watched my race. And she began to write, Mark, I just want to let you know, boy, you were terrible. And at that time, I was going to crinkle up the paper and throw it away. Thank you. Another love mail. But she said, but when I saw you and how you handled defeat and how you said you still give honor to God, as I was holding that pillow, my hands began to shake and something happened to me because I was going to take my mother out, but I saw how you took last and something, the way you, something about you encouraged me.
Yeah.
And from putting that hand over my, the pillow over my mother's face, to lifting her head up and putting it under her head and nurturing her. And I'm proud to say that we have reconciled, and we're not best friends, but we have reconciled and we are doing good. And I want to thank you for losing.
Wow.
But in the midst of that, I really didn't lose. So we talk about resilience. We talk about difficulties. And that's when the Bible says all things work together for the good. So if we stop looking for blessings in the form of me winning, we don't know. And that's why this conference, Zach, is so important. That's why United is so important. In my workshop, I told everybody to stand up and greet somebody. Because you don't never know. That person may be one hello away from suicide, one hello away from quitting, one hello away. So it's not just let me teach you or show you something. Yes. It's let me display the love of God.
Yes.
And that's why we're here, and that's why this United conference is so awesome. And I'm just blessed to be a part of it.
There's a tie between resilience and faithfulness.
Yes.
And something that you're mentioning, that you're hitting on, why I love and appreciate that story so much. Thank you for your vulnerability and sharing it. Is that, Mark, I think as an athlete, as performers, we're all performers in some way, shape, or form. I think we place a big emphasis on being first rather than being faithful.
Yes.
And that story reminds me that anyone can be impressive for a season. Anyone can show up early for a couple of days. Anyone can stay late when they have nothing better to do.
Exactly.
Anyone can give when the bank account is full.
Come on now.
Right?
Yeah.
But how will we choose to respond when things get tough?
Yes.
Because if we only do what's right when it's easy, that's not obedience, that's convenience.
That's not faith.
Being able to recognize what is true faith. I love to ask the guest to share a final pressing word that God has placed on their heart, but specifically who I want you to speak into the life of is somebody who's navigating loss. And you know, I think when we naturally hear grief and loss, we think of the loss of a loved one.
Sure.
We think of death of a person. But man, there's death of dreams.
Yes.
There's death of vision. There's death of an expectation.
Yes.
There's death of a lot of things that people are having to let go from and move from one season to the next. And maybe, just maybe, God is not withholding something, right? But he's actually giving you a new opportunity to step into something new. Dr. Kerr, what's a final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation you leave that person with today?
Since that we both former athletes, you look a little bit better in shape than me, but that's okay.
No.
You know, as a former baseball player, as a former track myself, you know how it feels to be, you were a pitcher, correct?
Yep. You got it.
And it's two strikes, bottom of the ninth. All you got to do is just throw that curveball or throw a 70, 85 miles per hour fastball and it's done.
That's right.
And they hit that puppy out the park. I don't know if you ever experienced that.
I have.
Yes. Okay. And are you at bat? All you got to do is bunt, hit him, and then you strike out. I only got to do is run this race, and I got $100,000, you know, a new signed contract. But what happens when you don't? There's nothing miracle that we can say. We're going to suffer. We're going to feel pain. But that's part of character building.
Yeah.
Because you have to learn how to lose in order to win.
But
the key is, what is truly losing? So I want to encourage those that if you've struck out when you said your prayers, thank you, Lord, I know I'm here for you, and to God be glory, and then you still let them hit it out the park when you still strike out, where's your faith then?
Yeah.
It might be, you might be that person that took their last in a race, and that person hit it out the park. You never know. Your blessing might be for that person. And whatever that person gets, whatever that person received, that person might have got a scholarship to a college. You're already in college, or that person might have not got beat because his performance wasn't good, or you know, somebody else got the job and you didn't. That person, you never know, but what's meant for you will be yours. So I want to say to those people that have had bad relationships, that have had bad experiences with church, that have been disappointed, your story isn't fully written. You will win. You will overcome. You just have to hold on. You just have to know that that moment doesn't define you. It's how you respond. So keep fighting the good fight. You're going to have falling down. You're going to have bad days. But this too shall pass.
Yes.
And just get up one more time.
Yes.
And that's real talk. We can talk scriptures and it sounds good.
Yes.
But you know, Zach, that feeling of, man, I let my team down, or I let my marriage down, or I let God down. He hates divorce. That's only three times in the Bible he says hate, and one of them is divorce. But God says, I love you. And if you just trust me, I'm going to bless you with that Esther. I'm going to bless you with another opportunity. I'm going to bless you in your, you know, but if you don't realize that, and you put all your eggs in that one basket, then that's where the depression comes in and anxiety. And so I just want to encourage those that I feel your pain.
Yeah.
But this too shall pass, and keep fighting a good fight.
Keep fighting the good fight. Keep on getting up. Yes. Keep on showing up. Keep on running forward. It's not about perfection.
No.
It's about spending time in his presence. Yes. It reminds me of Job 42, verse 5.
Yes.
I have heard of you with my ears, but now I have seen you with my eyes.
Felt you.
There
Amen.
Can be blessing in the bruising.
Oh,
Dr.
Yes.
Mark Greer, thank you so much for your time, my friend. You know how much I love you and appreciate you. Cannot wait to see what God does right here at the AACC United World Conference. Thank you for your time.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.